the Jewish people there. So everyone should be praising the Lord. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And that's the end of the song. Now, how many of you can carry that on your lips for a week? It's only a few lines. Can you carry this on your lips, in your mind, in your heart, praising the Lord for his great mercy and truth? Try that with me. Praising the Lord for his great mercy and truth. And you can just get it right out of the psalm, but praising the Lord for what? His great mercy and truth. That's what I want you to think about this week. Praise is encouraged by the Gentiles here and the Jewish people. There are multiple words in the Hebrew and in the Greek translated praise in our English Bibles. For instance, to praise means to express adoration or approval for the Lord, okay? We praise the Lord for his attributes, the things that we attribute to be true of him, his works, the things he has done, and his character. So, what we attribute to be true of him, what he's done, and his character. We praise him for those things. As somebody said, it's better to praise children for character qualities than looks or abilities. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for helping your brother. Thank you for being kind to your sister. See how it works? Because those are the things that are most like God. Okay. We praise the Lord for his attributes, his works, and his character. Praise includes the acts of blessing, commending, honoring, thanking, celebrating, and rejoicing. We praise the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. And he's worthy of our prayers as well. He's worthy of all adoration and approval because he's the one true God. So he deserves our worship as God, Creator, and only Savior from sin. All God's people say, Amen. That is true. That's what Amen means. Verse 2. Hey, Pastor Long, we're halfway done already. Nah, that's just the fast part there. Verse 2, I hate to get you out of here too early because, what, you know, my wife says, can't we make this an hour or something? She never says that. Neither will we. Verse 2. We're praising the Lord for what? His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Now, everyone ought to praise the Lord, but you particularly ought to be praising the Lord too. Ye is personal. You need to be praising the Lord. That's great that everybody needs to be praising the Lord, but I need to be praising the Lord myself. That's what the psalmist is saying. Praising the Lord for what again? Merciful kindness, because his merciful kindness is great. Kindness is embedded in love, and merciful means not giving us what our sins have earned. Kindness is a manifestation of loving someone. If you're kind to them, you're showing love to them. And merciful means not giving them what their sins deserve. That's mercy. If you are a police officer today and there's a line in a city and people are burning down buildings and stabbing people and cursing one another and all other kind of things and burning American flags, and then you're trying to guard some dignitary like Rand Paul, for instance, right? And the police have their bicycles up there and you spit in their face, in the policeman's face, and then you say something like, I dare you to hit me. I dare you to hit me. I dare you to hit me. Now, being a believer, I just want to put that aside for a while and give them what they want. But, you know, police officers, the ones that I've known, are very merciful people. They only do what they need to do. Cussed and kicked and despised. And by the way, President Obama didn't help in that area either, just to let you know. See, we tell it like it is, everybody doesn't like it, right? Dishonoring of the military. But when President Trump came in, and he's got some problems, you do too, I do too, right? Okay, let's get that out of the way. But at least he mentions the name God. At least he says respect our military and our police officers. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, so I'm just saying. Just calling it the way it is. Love is kind, and God is merciful. He's great in his mercy toward us. This word great is gabar in the Greek. It means strong, or having the strength to get the job done. He has the strength to get the job done, and he should be praised for that. You know who can save you? God can. He has the strength to get that done. He has the strength to change hearts of people. Now, our young fella that I've known for 13 years now, that's just came last week, Charles, and got saved. He was here again today with his wife, as you notice. I don't know if Anissa is saved. I'm asking you to pray for her salvation. I haven't got any indication that she's saved. I don't think Charles has ever been in church. He said, oh, yeah. Hey, I'm telling my dad, you know, you talked about that baptism thing. He said, I want to do that. So I told Harold, if we can get the baptism ready, well, he'd probably be the first person we've had baptized in a while. Isn't that great? And so pray for his wife to be saved. And he says, yeah, I was talking to my dad about it. And he said he thinks his dad remembers getting baptized as a Catholic boy. He thinks he remembers. That's how connected they are to any of you. It may have happened to me. I can't remember. I was so young. That's where they are. And that's okay, isn't it? That's called first generation Christian. So, wow. Amazing. Let's see what God will do in that life, right? God's merciful kindness is so strong, its greatness is able to prevail over all our sins, prevail over everything Satan tries to do, prevail over physical and spiritual death, and prevail over eternal damnation. That's how strong his loving kindness is. In Psalm 119, 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. That's his discernments. When you say yes to something, he's saying yes with full knowledge. And when he says no to something, he's saying no with full knowledge of how things work. He knows the human heart. For instance, I said to Brad and Caitlin at the wedding, I said, you know what? God knows exactly what you want. And I say this in marriage counseling, God knows exactly what you want. They looked at one another, well, what? He does? I said, oh, yeah, he knows exactly what you want. So what's that? I said, Brad, you want respect. Bible says so. And I say, Caitlin, you want unconditional love. That's what a wife wants. She don't be comparing with the, you know, everybody else in town or whatever down there. No, she wants unconditional love. And I had a little joke with them, you know, we're standing there practicing for the ceremony, and I said, with this ring, repeat after me, with this ring, I be dead. What was going on? Inside my head. How many think that's a good warm-up for marriage? Anybody? That's terrible, Pastor Law. Well, yeah, that wasn't the actual ceremony. That was just warming up the day before, you know. I said, no, it's supposed to be with this ring, I be dead. Forget about all others should be in my head. Amen? All right, that's better. Very good. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. His discernments are perfect. You know, there's a lot of lacking of discernment today, there seems to be, doesn't there? lacking of discernment. But God discerns everything perfectly. Now, can you list seven things to praise the Lord for right now? Okay, get your paper out, get your pen. This is no joke. Get something out, write it down. Come on, you got about 30 seconds here, maybe a minute. I've already written mine out, so I'm just going to pretend here. Write out seven things that you can praise the Lord for. And if you're having a hard time praising the Lord, this might be a good exercise for you, because I'm going to ask you to look at this all week. I'm going to ask you to pull it out of your pocket or your mind or your phone and look at it sometime during the day and praise the Lord for these things again and again and again. Here you go. Now you got about 20 seconds left. Seven things you can praise the Lord for. You're commanded to do it, by the way. You're commanded to praise the Lord. It's the number one command in the Bible, as far as numbers of time it's been given. Praise the Lord. 10 seconds left. Are you scratching it out fast? Tom, stop looking at Jan's list. All right. You can make up your own list, and it might actually grow past seven. Mine did, but I just stopped for this message so you can get a hold of it. Seven things to praise the Lord for. He says, seven times a day do I praise thee of thy righteous judgments or discernment. Psalm 119:164. And I praise the Lord for my Bible. Without a Bible, how would I know how to be saved? I praise the Lord for then my salvation. My Bible, my salvation. Then I praise the Lord for my wife. I praise the Lord for my children, our family. You know, my mom, my dad's passed away, my dad, my brothers and sisters. I praise the Lord for our church family. That's a blessing. I praise the Lord for good health. Somebody said when I was out there on the basketball court, you look pretty good for a guy 70 years old, Pastor Long. That's pretty good. I said, I'm 58. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, you look pretty good, 70 years old. I said, you look good for 100. That's what guys do. Don't worry about it. It's just a joke. Got pretty good health. I thank the Lord for that. I praised the Lord in it. Went on a little, had to slow her down to get this message over with, right? Food, clothing, and shelter. I just ripped off three right there. Boom. Food, clothing, and shelter. By the way, the Lord said, if you have those, you should be content. That's pretty powerful. Because at our very hearts, that's what we want. We want something to eat, something to wear, and a nice, a sheltering place to live. See, God knows us, doesn't He? God knows us. Okay? And then I praise the Lord for money to be able to pay for my new tires that I did not want to buy. Okay. So the guy, mechanic, looked at the tires, and he said, are you planning on sliding through the winter with these? I said, no, I'm going to get some new ones. He said, it's time. It's time. Okay. So we did that. Kindness. So there's seven things there. I think that's what 10 or so are on my list. Now, if you'll just pull that list out that God, and you'll create a different list at different times, you'll see that as you start praising the Lord, He starts lifting your spirits. Here's the one thing. Satan can't stay where you're praising the Lord. He can't stand it. It works. The Lord inhabits the praises of Israel, the praises of His people. He shows up. And that's, of course, experiential because He's always there, but we don't always experience that, do we? Kindness must be a very powerful tool that God places in our hand then. How about being kind to someone? That's powerful. And then truth. Back to Psalm 117 again, in case you have forgotten it. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Truth is veritable, reliable, constant or firm, and corresponds to reality. Let me say that again. It's veritable, reliable, constant, firm, and corresponds to reality. that which is real and can stand the test of eternal duration. That's truth. So when Oprah Winfrey comes out and says, whatever your truth is, live your truth. Hey, listen, that psychological babble is not going to work with God. It's either truth or it is a lie. John 4:23-24, but the hour cometh, it's already here. That's what "and now" means. When the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You got it. Jesus is the truth. God's Word is the truth. God the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Truth, by its very nature, cannot join itself to a lie. You know what? I have read somewhere where about half people, when they get a job, tell a lie on a resume. Why? You don't think they're going to find out after a while you told a big fat one? If you got a lie to get the job, guess what? You don't need the job. Right? Yes or no? You know, it's so much easier just to tell the truth. And then you don't have to look over your shoulder. Oh, what was that? Well, you know, just tell the truth. And some will like it, and some won't like it. But it's always good to tell the truth. It's always right to tell the truth. Amen. Paul proclaimed the truth of the gospel to defeat false teachers. Galatians 2:4-5. And that because of false brethren, they were calling themselves brethren. He said they're false. Unaware, they brought these things into the church. Can that happen? Yes. Who came in to privately spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage with all the rules and regulations, you know, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. We didn't waste 1 minute with these people. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. If you have to do just one little work to get saved, you're not saved. That's false teaching. The work is Christ's work, and we receive it. All God's people say, amen. Ephesians 4:15, we are to speak the truth in love as a means of helping each other mature in Christ. All right, believe it or not, Paul quotes from this shortest of Psalms in Romans 15. Let's go there. Romans chapter 15. And he has quite a number of words to say about it. He breaks it down. He knows how to go longer on a letter than I do. Remember, Romans is 16 chapters. You think I'm long-winded? This guy really can go. All right. So Romans 15:8-13 is Psalm 117. Talking about unity in Christ and Jew and Gentile coming together in faith in Christ, the only Christ, okay? Remember, Jesus was the King of the Jews. Oh, yeah. Remember, the gospel is to go to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles, right? Remember that. And it's the same power that will save both of them. Romans 15:8-13. Romans 15:8. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision of the what? Truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His what? Mercy. So the two big things are there. What again? Truth and mercy. Now he turned them around. Thanking God for His merciful truth, right? And now he's saying from this passage, truth, and then that God is merciful. For it is written, verse 9, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. That's praising the Lord. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Again, the Jewish people. And again, praise ye the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud, adore him, all ye people. And then he goes to Isaiah. And Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, that he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles what? Trust. They shall trust. trust. And then verse 13 is the last one I want to stop at. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. See, if you don't believe, it won't benefit you. He will fill you with hope. He will fill you with joy. He will fill you with peace if you believe what he says. That ye may abound, overflow in hope, confident expectation through the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. What's a confident thing that you need to be bubbling over with? That you're saved. That Jesus will save you. That's the truth. He will have mercy on you. All God's people say, amen. That's wonderful. Hebrews 13:15. By him, that's through Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's a good one to go over and over again. Hebrews 13:15. Let me read it one more time. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Praise ye the Lord. Revelation 5, 12 through 13. You've heard this recently, haven't you? Standing there in heaven, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We had some of those things. They all came from him. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Wait a minute. You mean created things speaking? That's exactly what I mean, because the Bible says so. Every created thing, animals talking, praising God. Oh, animals can't talk. Yes, they can. Here we are again, right? Remember the donkey? Balaam's donkey? I just can't pass it up. Son, if you ever get discouraged, remember God can use any old donkey. It always encourages me. If he can use a donkey, he can use you. Get back in that fight. This isn't any time for quitting. My dad had a unique way of encouraging people, you know. Get back in there. Wow. And then we're going to close with this. I told you. It's just a short psalm. Go to Psalm 150. If I need to go longer, I will, and if I don't need to go that long, I won't. First time for everything, right, everyone? Look at Psalm 150, and I just want to look at two verses. Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Has the Lord done anything for you? Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's what he did with his greatness. His greatness, he can speak something into existence that wasn't there. That's greatness. And then look in verse 6. Let everything that hath breath, I think you have some breath. If you're talking, you get breath. Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. And not only everything, but praise you. You praise the Lord. That's what it means, praise ye, personally. Praise ye the Lord. Seven times a day will I praise his glorious name. Thanking the Lord for his truth and for his mercy upon us. Have you written anything down? Have you got it in your heart? You're going to review it some this week? The devil can't stand it when you're praising the Lord. But the Lord loves it. He manifests his presence when people praise His name. Let's pray. Our great God and Savior, we thank You so much tonight for being merciful to us, sharing the gospel with us through a family, a friend. Most of us didn't get saved the first time we heard it. Many of us probably heard the gospel a number of times before we believed it. But it's the truth. It's the only way of salvation. Lord, I want to thank You tonight for Your mercy upon me. Thank You for the truth that I'm relying upon of Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection. Thank You for the power that You were able to speak to the sea and calm the waves. Thank You that You called Peter just by one word, come, and he walked on the water. One word, light, and it was created. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, the power of the gospel is still Your great power and demonstration in the hearts of men. Remove the blinders of our loved ones so that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine in their hearts. Lord, I ask You to have mercy upon them. And don't give them what they deserve like You've not given us what we deserve because of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're begging You to save souls and add to this church and cause it to grow and advance in this city. May people turn to You and their fears and trust You and rely upon You and walk with You and talk with You and know they have a place in heaven. Hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised. And all God's people say, amen.